And today we're starting into our Christmas season message series, and from the next few weeks we're going to be talking about some very well-known Christmas carols. And what we're going to do is we're going to break them down, and we're going to talk about these carols. Some of them are hundreds of years old, and but yet they still have relevance for us today. And I'm so glad that I got first up on this one. So that meant I got first pick. So when you get first pick, you're always going to pick your favorite first, you know that? And I've picked my favorite first. So today, we're going to talk about O Holy Night. And I want to talk about the relevance of the story of O Holy Night and how much it still is relevant for us today. But I want to give you a bit of a history lesson first, okay? The song O Holy Night was written back in France in 1843. That's a few years ago, isn't it? 1843? Oh, praise the Lord. We were watching the film there the other week. We went to see the Napoleon film. Good film. Very good film. But the thing that got me about it when I was thinking about this song, O Holy Night, being written in 1843 in France, when I watched the film Napoleon, I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of in around the same time. You know, they were going through revolution at the time. Napoleon was leading, and people were getting their heads chopped off left, right, and center. They were at war with Prussia. They were at war with Russia. They were at war with Austria, and they were at war with England. It was an awful time to live. But yet, in the middle of this time, somebody came up with this song, O Holy Night. And how it happened was there was this parish priest there in France who was celebrating the restoration of his church organ. And he wanted somebody to write him a special song that he could play it on this organ when they rededicated the organ. So he went and asked the guy in the town who was a wine merchant and a businessman who had a reputation of being a bit of a poet by the name of Placide Capuet, if he would write him a poem based on Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And the funny thing about this guy was that he actually wasn't a Christian. He was a bit of a socialist and an agnostic at best. An agnostic is someone who's not sure whether God is real or not. And this guy also had a bit of a reputation of being a bit of a party animal. He was far from God. He didn't even go to church. But he was a good poet. So why not? So the priest approached him and he asked him, and Placide agreed and he wrote him this poem. And when the poem was first performed, people were absolutely blown away by it. It was absolutely amazing, unlike anything that they'd ever heard before. So they decided to try and find someone to put this poem to music. And the guy that they found, amazingly, wasn't a Christian either. So when they played this new song, it was amazing. It went 18th century viral. It went straight to number one in France. I mean, it was played on all of the radios there. No, it was played in all of the churches. They loved it. People went nuts for this song. It went just crazy. So well received was this song. And even very early on in this song, it crossed over to America. The Americans start playing it. Some American guy, he wrote the English version of the song, which we have today. And it was huge in North America. They absolutely loved it. They were going through some stuff too, and it spoke to them as well in that story. It was played everywhere, not just in churches. It was played in bars. It was played everywhere. It was kind of like All I Want from Christmas from Mariah Carey. It's everywhere. And the Catholic Church, they became concerned because when they found out who wrote this song and the reputation this guy had, he wasn't a churchgoer or really a believer in Christ. When they found out the guy who wrote the music to it, again, not a believer in Christ, they tried to shut it down. They were seeing and hearing this song being played in churches all over the place, people, how they responded to it, and they were seeing how it was being played in bars, it was being played in homes, and they were kind of like, you know, this is not good. This is not reverential. This is not what we're aiming for. So they done everything in their power to try and ban churches from playing, or should I say singing, this song. They tried to remove it from French society. But it was too late. The song was just so massively popular, they just couldn't stop it. Legend has it. Now, this is legend. Legend has it that O Holy Night was sang by French troops during World War I. and it caused a temporary ceasefire. But for me, O Holy Night is the most beautiful, powerful Christmas carol. I absolutely love it. I'm not a bit surprised those who tried to shut it down couldn't succeed. We can only imagine what it would have been like there on that night when Jesus was born. You know, today many of us have manger scenes in our homes. We all have them. I don't know whether you've put up your Christmas decorations yet or not. Praise God, we haven't yet. But I know it's coming this week. But I know when it's coming, I know Angela has four mangers that she'll count out. Praise God. Every year I try to keep one of the boxes in the attic just to, but she knows exactly what's in all of them, so I never get away with it. So we have four mangers. Don't judge me. Praise God. Maybe you have more. But we have one manger that's actually more special to us than any of the rest of them. And that is a manger that Angela's dad made for her when she was a child. Now, unlike all of the rest of the mangers that were bought for us or gifted to us down through the years, they're all very special to us, but they're all very well made and they all are perfect in appearance. But the one that we love the most and that gets the center place in our home is the one that Angela's dad made for her. And we love it because it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. It's like its roof. It's many years old at this stage, praise God, but its roof is a little bit loose. If you were inclined to try and shelter under, you'd get wet. Praise God. Not a hope. It's one of those roofs. It's got a couple of nails sticking up out of it. Praise God. Two have caught my finger on them more than once. If you were a building inspector, praise God, it would be condemned. There is no doubt. The uprights in it, they're a little bit shaky at this stage, but praise God, it's our favorite. The manger characters have changed over the years as well. They leave a lot to be desired, some of those people who were there, Polly Pockets and Action Man. I don't believe that they were there when Jesus was born that night. That was actually funny, praise God. You know, I'm trying to be funny here and serious all at the same time, so you're meant to laugh. We don't have Polly Pockets and Action Man there. It was just thrown in there just to see if you were awake this morning. Failure, praise God. But despite all of its many imperfections, we absolutely love this manger a lot more than we love the perfect ones because we love its imperfections. You see, I think for many of us, when we put up our mangers at home and we look at the perfection there, all of the lovely characters, also like the one we have out there, all so lovely and pristine and shiny and a lovely manger, and it just looks so excellent and all that. You know, I think it just takes away completely from what it was actually like that night when Jesus was born. It was far from perfection. It was in no way sterile. It was no way was it a well-organized event. It was chaos. Amen? See, the reality of it, if you like to think about it, is that you had a pregnant teenage girl who was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, maybe 16 years of age. She and her husband had to travel on the back of a donkey from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. Now picture this. A 9-month pregnant teenage girl, pregnant by the Holy Spirit, heading down to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey, away from her family. Can you picture it? 90 miles between Nazareth and Bethlehem. I mean, like, that's nearly from what it is here to Dublin Airport. And we have a lovely road all the way. And I still hate doing it. Couldn't imagine putting a 9-month pregnant girl on the back of a donkey going on a trail that same distance. You see, my experience of childbirth is bringing Angela 13 miles down the road to Wexford General Hospital into a lovely sterile ward, and a few hours later we had a baby. But for Mary, it was nothing like that. She was alone, away from her home. She was about to give birth to her first child. No midwife, no epidural, no place to stay. You see, everybody was in town for census that day. And any available lodgings was well gone. Every place was full to the overflow. So Mary and Joseph were forced to to find shelter and take shelter in the only place that they could, which was a stable full of animals. Are you getting the picture? Mothers, you have all given birth. And I can guarantee you that not one of you has gave birth in anything like these circumstances. Mary gave birth to the Son of God, and she's surrounded by smelly farmyard animals mooing and grunting. No midwife, no doctor, no gas and air, no painkillers. I don't think there was a child ever brought into the world in a more chaotic scene than when Jesus was brought into the world. Now, in the song, O Holy Night, there's this phrase that I want us to look at for just a couple of minutes, and it says, a trill of hope. A weary world rejoices. The original French version says the whole world trembled with hope in the night which gives them a savior. There's a couple of words there that would very accurately describe our world today, isn't there? A weary world. We live in a bit of a weary world, don't we? I know, praise God, we are positive people. We're always positive and our hope is in Christ, but praise the Lord, the world is weary. It's like we can't catch a break at the moment. We went from COVID to energy crisis to high inflation, the rise of artificial intelligence, the war in Ukraine, another war in the Middle East, not to mention stabbings in our own capital city and riots on the streets of our own country. I mean, turning on the news today is a stressful thing to do. I'd much rather watch The Simpsons. I would. I heard the other week that 9 in 10 women, now maybe you can confirm this or deny it, women, but 9 in 10 women are afraid of extreme weather events like wildfires and storms. This is a weary world. It seems like to me sometimes everybody is struggling with something. You don't have to look very far to find people struggling. Whether it be in their finances, their relationships, whether it be a health issue or issues with their kids. I just think there's so many people today can relate to that phrase, a weary world. But what I love about this song is that when we think about the time that Jesus was born, the environment that He was born into. I think of the oppression that the children of Israel were going through at the hands of the Romans and all of the anxiety and the fear that that occupation brought to them. But with the entrance of Jesus into the world came the thrill of hope. You know, maybe, just maybe, this is the Messiah. This is the one we've been looking for. Maybe this is the answer. A thrill of hope. I was thinking during the week, how can I best describe what a thrill of hope is? Thrill of hope is anticipation. And I thought, and listen, this might be way off the mark, but a thrill of hope for me is a homeless man with a lottery ticket in his hand. I mean, he's homeless. He's desperate. He's nothing. He's living under a bridge or living in a box. And all of a sudden, somebody gives him a lottery ticket. And a thrill of hope for me is that hope that maybe on that lottery ticket, maybe his circumstances could change. Whatever he scratched, maybe he'd scratch off enough money to clear off his debts, enough money to maybe set him up into a home. Maybe he'd hit the jackpot. That for me is a thrill of hope, that despite all of the circumstances, despite everything that you're going through, that maybe your answer is just there. Your answer is in your hand. In Jesus' time, maybe the answer had just been born in a manger. In a stable. Amen? Thrill of hope. Bringing anticipation. Maybe for those who were putting their faith in God, who for centuries had hope that one day their Messiah would be born. That maybe that the birth of this baby was the fulfillment of God's promised Messiah. Maybe he had just come into the world. And when he would come into the world, everything would be different. Can almost hear that kind of faith in this carol, that there is a thrill, there's an anticipation of hope, that hope caused this weary world to rejoice. You see, with the entrance of Jesus into the world, it brings hope. Amen? Everywhere Jesus went, he brought hope. Every city he entered, he brought hope. To every sick person he encountered, he brought hope. The whole world trembled with hope that night that maybe God had just sent them a Savior. In every circumstance, in every problem, in every difficulty that life brings your way, when your life is anchored to the hope that Jesus brought us, you have still that thrill of hope. Amen? You know, the truth is, I know every one of us are going through some stuff. Every one of us have some stuff going on in our lives. But here's the thing. If you have Jesus in your story isn't finished yet. Amen? Amen. If you have Jesus, you have hope. I think I love Joy to the World so much because the words of the song are the gospel itself. They really are the gospel itself. I want to read for you this morning the original French version. The lyrics of the English version are so, so different. The French version is absolutely amazing. It goes this way. It says, "Midnight Christians, it is the solemn hour when God, man, descended to us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of his Father. The entire world thrills with hope on the night that gives it a Savior. People kneel down. Wait your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, here is the Redeemer. The Redeemer has overcome every obstacle. The earth is free and heaven is open. He sees a brother where there was only a slave. Love unites those that iron has chained. Who will tell him of our gratitude? It is for all of us that he is born, that he suffers and dies. People, stand up. Sing of your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, sing of the Redeemer. Christmas, Christmas, let us sing of the Redeemer." Isn't that amazing? There is so much I love about this original French version that I want to draw your attention just to a few lines this morning. And they are, "Midnight Christians, it is the solemn hour when God, man, descends to us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of the Father." You know what amazes me about the lyrics there in the French version is how much they represent the gospel and how they were written by a guy who was an agnostic. I mean, come on. Praise God. To erase the stain of original sin. When the God-man Jesus came down from his heavenly throne to live with us, it wasn't for a holiday. It wasn't for a short break. It was to erase the stain of sin. Amen? It was to erase the stain of sin. Church, as we prepare for Christmas, never forget that Jesus didn't come for a few days off work. Amen? For an excuse. He didn't come to give us an excuse for us to eat tons of food and drink and be merry. He came to erase the stain of our sins. Amen? And two, he came to end the wrath of the Father. I hope you know this morning that God's not mad at you. Hope you know this morning that God is not angry at you. That he's not out to punish you. He's not out to get you. He's not out to take you down. He's not out to settle a score with you. All of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. Amen? And even though we celebrate the birth of a baby, we're celebrating the birth of a Savior. Amen? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The free gift. Amen? The free gift. You know what's great about free gifts? They're free. Amen? I'm always amused when I see people, you know, sometimes you'll see people doing promotions and they're handing out stuff on the side of the street, maybe like cans of Coke or whatever they're handing out. And I mean, people are just so drawn to people. There's a whole big crowd around them because someone is handing out some free perfume or free whatever. free bars of chocolate, people are drawn to it. Amen. We need to be drawn to the free gift of salvation that Jesus came to give us. Amen. Amen. That free gift is available to everyone. And unlike when someone comes and does a promotion on the street, they have a limited amount. Once they're gone, they're gone. Jesus came for whosoever. Amen. His salvation is strong enough for everyone. Amen. His free gift is available to the whole world. I particularly love this part in the second part of the verse. It says, the Redeemer has come to overcome every obstacle. The earth is free and heaven is open. He sees a brother where there was only a slave. You know, Jesus came into the world not as a victim, but to be the Redeemer. Before Jesus, we were all lost in our sins without hope. Every one of us was doing our best to survive and get by. But when we came to know Jesus, he became our hope. Amen? He became our Redeemer. Now when we go through some stuff, we have hope. And we know we have a Redeemer. Amen? We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. The Redeemer has overcome every obstacle, it says. The earth is free and heaven is open. Do you know our Jesus, and we sing about it so regularly, our Jesus is the way maker. He is the way maker. He made a way to the Father where there was no way. Amen. Through the sacrifice of blood, of bulls and goats and all of that sort of stuff, it wasn't good enough. Only Jesus was good enough. Amen. He is our way maker. He came to make a way. And now because of that, heaven is open for business. Amen. For all who trust in Jesus. Watch this one. I love this. Do I say that too often? But I do. I love it. It says, he sees a brother where there was only a slave. You know, before Jesus came, we were all slaves to sin. We were all locked up in a prison of our sin, and we had absolutely no means of escape. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, he said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. But before Jesus, we were all slaves to sin. But in that stable, on that chaotic night, our liberator was born. So we are no longer slaves to sin. We are children of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 in the English Standard Version, it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the whole world. He came to set us free. You know, prison was never designed to be a happy place. You know that, don't you? Prison is a place where the guilty are detained against their will to pay the price for their crimes. In prison, inmates can be locked up for up to 23 hours a day. And the only time that they get free from their cells is when they're eaten or when they have a short time of exercise. There is not one prisoner in jail who was happy to be there. You know that, don't you? There is no prisoner in their cell this morning singing Oh Happy Days, unless he's watching church online maybe. They are all there held against their will. You know, I love that movie, The Shawshank Redemption. Love it. It's a great film. Not Christmassy in any way, so praise God. Don't need to put it on your Christmas list. It just fits what we're talking about this morning. Andy Dufresne, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of his wife and her lover, a crime he didn't commit. But the part I love most about this film is the story around Andy's escape. You know, he spent 19 years, I had to look it up this week because I was trying to figure out, how long did he spend in jail? He actually spent 19 years in jail. And all of those 19 years, he was planning his escape. He had gotten himself a little tool, a little small stone tool for fashioning little, I think he was making chess pieces. But as well as making the chess pieces, he was also chiseling a hole in his wall. So he had his big poster on his wall, and every night he'd be chiseling away at the wall. Eventually, he broke through to the other side, and then he ended up in a whole open area, and in this area, there was sewer pipe running through it. So one night, during a big thunderstorm, he burst a hole in the sewer pipe. And then he got down into the sewer pipe, and I won't tell you what Morgan Freeman said, but he crawled through this sewer pipe for 500 yards or something like that, a half a mile, to get out to his freedom on the other side. Now, when Andy found himself outside of the jail and he'd done all of his lovely moves and all of that sort of stuff, trying to demonstrate his freedom, he wasn't really free, was he? No, because now, when they found out in the prison that he had broken out, now they set everyone on him. The prison guards, the police, everyone was out to get him. So he had to leave the country in order to maintain his freedom. Church, when Jesus came to set us free, he set us free indeed. Nobody will drag you back into that prison when you're set free. Amen? Nobody will drag you back into the prison once you are set free. Amen? When Jesus went to his hometown, stood up in the synagogue, and he read Isaiah chapter 61 to them, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. The consequences of our sin put us in jail. Amen? But unlike Andy in the Shawshank, we have no physical means of escape. But when we came into a relationship with Jesus, he ripped open the prison doors and he set us free. Amen? He took us out of the grip of the enemy. And we don't have to look over our shoulder like Andy, worrying that the enemy will someday come and find us and drag us back to prison. Because John 8, verse 36 says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. One other version says that you will be absolutely free. The entrance of Jesus into the world, which we celebrate today, brought us the ability to live totally free. And not only has Jesus set us free, but he has promoted us from being servants. He now calls us brothers and sisters. Isn't that amazing? That amazing. We are no longer his servants. We are brothers and sisters. The song goes on. It says, love unites those that iron has chained. Whom will tell of our gratitude? It's for all of us that he is born, that he suffers and dies. Who will tell him of our gratitude? We will. We will tell him of our gratitude. When we come to celebrate this Christmas, when we think about putting up all of our Christmas decorations and decorating our homes, donating food and stuff like that to charity and blessing people around, why do we do it? We do it to show our gratitude. Amen? We decorate our homes, not so that our home is the nicest home on the block, so that our decorations are the best around. We do it. We adorn our homes to show our gratitude. Amen? When we put up our cribs at home, we put it up to show our gratitude, to remind us. Your crib is not there just to be that lovely little scene. It has to be a reminder in your home that on that chaotic night, pregnant by the Holy Spirit, teenage girl brought hope into the world. Amen? Love caused God to give. And love should compel us to give too. Amen? The motivation of love, it's to give. Amen? God loved us so much that he gave us his best. He didn't withhold from us. Amen? John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Even though our sin hurt the Father and put a barrier between us and the Father, it didn't stop him from giving us the remedy to sin, his one and only Son, Jesus. Amen? That's why we give him thanks. Amen? Because no matter how far we've run from him, he's always ready there to pull us back in. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. Let me read this as we finish. verse 22. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen?